The United Nations Security Council has been meeting in an emergency session to discuss the continuing airstrikes in eastern Ghouta near Syria's capital of Damascus, which have killed at least 380 civilians, we're told, including 100 children, according to aid groups. Syrian government forces have been pounding the last rebel enclave in the war-torn country for the past 5 days. The airstrikes have left the medical system in eastern Ghouta near collapse, with 22 hospitals and clinics estimated hit. Dr. Bassam is a doctor in eastern Ghouta.
Believe me, it's a massacre. Many, many injured, many killed people, most of them civilian, children, women. It's a massacre. It's so hard. You can't imagine its effect on people and children. No safe place now in eastern Ghouta.
That's just one doctor speaking there from eastern Ghouta to the BBC. The UN Security Council is debating a motion that would impose a 30-day ceasefire across the country to allow emergency aid deliveries and medical evacuations. But Russia, which backs the Assad regime, is putting up roadblocks. Amnesty International, meanwhile, has accused all warring parties in Syria, including Russia, of committing war crimes and human rights violations with impunity. In its annual report, the Global Human Rights Group also accuses the Syrian government of targeting its own people by imposing lengthy sieges of predominantly civilian areas. Tirana Hassan is Amnesty International's Crisis Response Director. She investigates human rights abuses and war crimes. She joins us now from Washington, D.C. Welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Amnesty International says the bombing of civilians in eastern Ghouta amounts to war crimes. It accuses Syrian forces of trapping civilians there, depriving them of medical care and aid. What evidence has Amnesty collected to prove those claims?
I mean, right now in eastern Ghouta, we're in contact with people. We know we've been speaking to doctors. We know that health institutions have been pummeled by airstrikes and mortar fire. We know that civilians are now, you know, cowering literally in the dark. They have been cut off from humanitarian aid for, you know, we're not talking about just in the last few days since the escalation of violence, but for months. I mean, the people of eastern Ghouta have been living under a siege where they've only had minimal medical supplies and food supplies since November. There've only been, you know, three aid deliveries. We have investigated violations across Syria, and the patterns are always the same. It is this. It is what we are seeing now in eastern Ghouta, which is siege or surrender, and they are just these are war crimes. You know, the act of conducting a siege of a civilian population is a violation of international humanitarian law, and it must be stopped immediately. We know that there are hundreds of people requiring immediate medical evacuation from eastern Ghouta, and there is no good reason that there should not be a cessation of hostilities, and the civilian population who needs assistance should be able to leave.
So the allegation is that it's a siege of a predominantly civilian area. Obviously, you know, there's contested information around these sorts of things. We were hearing yesterday about, you know, mortars coming out of those areas. How difficult is it for you to determine the realities on the ground? As you say, you're sort of talking to people there, but obviously access is pretty much impossible.
I mean, what we know from our work in Syria as a whole is that there are approximately 420,000 people who are living in besieged areas inside Syria. 90% of those are in eastern Ghouta. It is not to say that the entire population, that there are no fighting forces in eastern Ghouta, but what the laws of war say, and there are laws in war, even though it looks chaotic, there are rules, and the warring parties have to abide by them, and that is that you cannot indiscriminately bomb, and you must take all precautions to protect the civilian population. So regardless of mortars flying in from one side to the other, you know, all parties to this conflict must abide by the laws of war, and what we are seeing now is flagrant violations of international humanitarian law, and it's the civilian population which is suffering.
Russia, I note, rejects allegations that its air force is responsible for civilian casualties in Ghouta, but as you point out, there are these sort of airstrikes being conducted. Is it clear that Russia is responsible for civilian deaths from Amnesty's point of view?
I mean, we have documented the involvement of Russian forces in throughout this conflict. But let's be very clear, it's not about one being worse than the other. We know that...
Sure, but I just want to drill down
Russia
into this question
has
of...
Public, being very public.
Of civilian killings in Eastern Ghouta, because I think that's the sort of pressing question right now. Is it your view that Russia is responsible for civilian deaths in Eastern Ghouta?
It's Russia and Syria are involved in this campaign, and Russia supports the Syrian government. So there are Syrian forces which are supported by Russia. Some of those may be in airstrikes, but in general, they have been supporting the Syrian forces. So right now, what we're not talking about this being Russia's fault. Syrian and Russian forces are responsible for the siege that is ongoing and the bombardments which are taking civilian lives.
Sure. I'm just trying to help our audience understand exactly what's happening right now. I understand that there's a lot of sensitivities around what Amnesty says in these sorts of circumstances, but we're hearing about significant numbers of civilian deaths in Eastern Ghouta this week, and I'm trying to establish for our audience exactly who's doing that killing.
Yeah, it's a very difficult situation. We know that there are multiple parties involved in this conflict, but there are obviously the Syrian Defence Forces, and there are other actors on the ground who.
But are we talking about Syrian warplanes, for example, or Russian warplanes?
Yes.
Or both?
Yep. It's very difficult to know who does what, because obviously the civilian population isn't able to look up as they're being bombed. Most people are cowering in tunnels or in basements. But we know that there have been Russian jets deployed to the Syrian conflict, and we know that the Syrian forces has air capacity and have been using those throughout this conflict to be able to do these to. Conduct these sort of attacks. And we've seen these in multiple other attacks like Daraya and Aleppo. So this isn't new. But I think going to your question, it is most definitely, the Syrian government forces are actively involved in the current siege, and they are supported by Russian forces as well. And I think, if you want to talk about Russia, we need to talk about what's happening right this very minute. We are sitting in New York. The Security Council is currently sitting, and they're debating whether there should be a cessation of hostilities and, to allow a reprieve for the civilian population. And the Russian representative to the Security Council is essentially, very hostile to this. This is highly problematic, and the cost of digging in and the cost of these flagrant violations of human rights is actually the loss of civilian lives.
We do have to get to the news, but very quickly, our Prime Minister is meeting with President Trump today in the United States. Amnesty is calling on both countries to show leadership in resolving the Syrian crisis. Can you point very simply to anything that Australia could be doing to help resolve this situation in about 20 seconds?
Sure. Well, I mean, Australia needs to show the sort of moral leadership. It's now got a position as a member on the Human Rights Council, for example, and it needs to demonstrate leadership and protection of human rights on the global stage. And that's going to begin with the simple things and cleaning up at home and making sure that Australia is a human rights compliant country. And so that pulls to our refugee, Australia's treatment of refugees, which needs to vastly improve, and certainly closing the detention centres on Manus. But it also means Australia's on the Human Rights Council. It needs to start calling out abuses when it sees them.
Okay.
And that should also involve the US when the Prime Minister meets with President Trump.
We will have to leave it there. Tarana Hassan from Amnesty International, thank you very much.
Thank you very much for having me.